I'd like to thank Mr. Johnson for those words of welcome, and I do trust this afternoon that throughout this week we will know the Lord's presence. Now, home is not exactly round the corner. In fact, I have described it on one occasion as in the backside of nowhere. I was preaching in our church in Boston, and the minister said, maybe Mr. Morrow will get up and tell us exactly where he comes from. But how would you tell people in Boston where Oma is? So I just said, folks, it's in the backside of nowhere. And that was a wee man. He thought that I was serious, of course, and it came to a time of prayer, and he started to pray, and others joined him. Lord, remember Mr. Morrow as he preaches in his congregation in the backside of nowhere. Well, there you have it. But it's good to be here. I know it's a Sunday afternoon. And, of course, we're all familiar with Dr. Paisley's statement, roast beef and unbelief. That all kicks in about 3:30 or 4 o'clock. We do want you to feel at home. But we don't want you to think you're so much at home you're actually in bed and you go to sleep. So if you can stay with us for the little time that is left. We're going to read from Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. And we'll commence at the verse 33. And no doubt the chapter will be very, very familiar. Luke chapter 23 and the verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with him derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed at him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly? But we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. We'll end our reading there. God again will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Can we just bow for a moment's prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks for this lovely Sabbath afternoon. And we thank you for the health and the strength that we have to enjoy it. And we're glad that we can gather in your house, amongst your people, around your word, and in your presence. And we ask, Lord, for help in the proclamation of thy truth, and that you'll write your word indelibly upon the tables of our heart, that we might not only be hearers, but doers of thy word. Bless your own believing people, help us, that we might grow in grace. And we pray for those who as yet may not know thee, that you'll draw them irresistibly by your Spirit, and bring them to yourself, that this might be a day of rejoicing in heaven and here over sinners repenting. For we ask this in the Savior's name. Amen. I want to take for our text this afternoon the words that are recorded in the very opening verse that we read together, verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Very, very simply, I want to turn your thoughts to what I have called bowing at the wrong cross. This afternoon, we're going to turn our thoughts here to the heart of the Bible, the central theme of biblical Christianity, to Calvary. Golgotha's Hill, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. To the Apostle Paul, the cross was everything. In fact, he says on one occasion that nothing else mattered to him, for I want to know nothing among you save Christ and him crucified. But you know, the cross and his wonderful message wasn't welcomed by everyone, and it's not welcomed by everyone today. And even at the cross, there was a division. There are many today who will tell us that they don't believe in this old-fashioned, gory, slaughterhouse religion. And so they shun the work of the cross. But that's how it was when Jesus was crucified. In fact, at Calvary, we're not only confronted with one cross, but three crosses. There's a cross and a cross and a cross. There is the cross of condemnation. There is the cross of conversion. And there is the cross of Christ. The cross of condemnation, where sadly, a man died in his sin. There's the cross of conversion, where a man died to his sin. And there is the cross of Christ, where the Son of Man died for sin. Now, during this week of meetings, you'll find yourself at one of those crosses. And I trust it is the right cross. The cross of Christ. There's always this danger of bowing at the wrong cross and dying in our sin. Now, very, very simply, we're going to look, first of all, at the cross of condemnation. And there you have the record of the unrepentant thief. The Bible says he was a malefactor, an evildoer, and he's hanging right beside the sinless Son of God. The important thing to note about him, he's right beside the Savior. He is within speaking voice. And the Bible tells us where the Lord says in Isaiah, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth." And he could have looked, but he didn't look. The hymn writer says there's life for a look at the crucified one. But this man, though hanging right beside the Savior, he did not look and he did not call. But rather, the Bible tells us, first of all, that he reeled on Christ. And that word "reel" carries the same meaning as the word blasphemy. Over in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, in the verse 31, the Bible says this, "Wherefore I say unto you, that all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men." That's what this man was doing. He reeled on Christ. He blasphemed Christ. In other words, there as he was hanging, breathing out his last, dying in condemnation, he's committing the unpardonable sin. A sin which sadly could be committed. You see, there's a line that is crossed by rejecting the Lord. And that line was crossed that day, and that man, though he was within speaking voice of Christ and within calling distance, he committed the unpardonable sin, reeling and blaspheming Christ. But not only did he reel on Christ, but he rejected Christ. And sadly, you could end this day in the same predicament, reeling on Christ, blaspheming Christ, rejecting Christ. Bowing at the wrong cross. As you look at the chapter, you will discover that Christ didn't talk to this man. And Christ had nothing to say to him. Finds himself in the same predicament as King Herod found himself in. You remember, after he sent an executioner to behead John the Baptist, heaven went silent to his soul. It didn't matter who prayed or who preached. There was no way back. Herod, like this man, had gone over the deadline. And when Herod discovered that Jesus, or Pilate discovered that Jesus was of the jurisdiction of Herod, he was glad to send Herod to Christ. And Herod was glad to see Christ. He wanted to see some miracle done by him. He wanted this interview. But in all that he said to Christ, Jesus never spoke a word. For the simple reason that everything that Jesus had to say to Herod, he said it through the lips of John the Baptist. And the moment that Herod sealed John's death, he sold his soul to a lost eternity. There was no way back. Friend, there's a way back to God tonight from the dark paths of sin. A door has been opened and you can go in. But don't reel against Christ. Don't blaspheme Christ. Don't reject Christ. Don't commit the unpardonable sin. As that man that day did. There's not only the cross of condemnation here. In that he defamed Christ and railed on Christ. Then there's the cross of conversion. Where a man died to his sin. This man finds himself at a different cross. The one who died in his sin and actually rebukes his comrade in crime for what he has done. We see first of all there the solemn charge. He says in verse 40, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation?" My friend, can I ask you that question? Do you fear God today? We live in a world when there is no fear of God before the eyes of the people. But do you fear God? Do you fear God enough to give him your heart and trust him as your Savior? It's as if this man is saying to his comrade in crime, "You're hanging there because you deserve to be hanging there. And yet you're blaspheming Christ. Under condemnation. But on the middle cross is your justification." It's almost as if he's saying, "Wise up." And you know, you and I live in a day when people, and I say this respectfully, need to wise up. Bible says we know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's a vapor. It appears for a little time and then vanishes away. But sadly, many people live as if they were never, ever going to die. Isn't it time to wise up and think about our eternal destiny? But there is not only the solemn charge here, but also this sad condemnation. Do you not fear God? Do you see your condemnation? My friend, do you see your lost estate? Do you realize the awful consequences of living and dying without Christ? And what if you never awake tomorrow to greet the light of another day? How then will it be with your soul in eternity? And then you see this saving confession, because he himself says, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." What a different attitude. What a different response. He recognizes his need. He recognizes who Christ is. And he repents of his sin. It's as if he's saying, "I don't deserve it. And in a few short moments, I'm going to be in eternity. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." As if heaven was barred, and hell was open, had enlarged himself for him. Great are the words of the hymn writer when he says, "The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away." What about you today? Bowing at the wrong cross, the cross of condemnation, in your sin without Christ, always gambling upon the uncertain tomorrow. Read the story of three young fellows from this province, and they went to Paris for a weekend. But when they got to Paris, it did nothing but rain and rain and rain. And their whole weekend was really ruined. Because of the rain, the three of them walked into a cathedral. It was a Catholic cathedral. But they just went in there to get out of the rain. And on the front wall of that great cathedral was this massive crucifix of Christ. And as they stood idly at the back of the building and looking up towards that great structure, one of the fellows said to the others, he said, "I'll dare any of you to walk up to that cross and say, 'All this you've done for me and I don't care.'" One fellow, he said, "I'll do it." And after a moment's hesitation, he swaggered up the aisle and right up to the foot of that great crucifix. And he looked back to see if his friends were still watching him. And then at the top of his voice, he cried out, "All this you did for me, and I don't." And he looked back again to see if they were still watching. And again he cried it and said, "All this you did for me, and I don't." He broke down and he cried. He went back to the back where the other fellows were standing. And he says, "Men, I can't say that. All Christ did for me, and I do care. I was brought up in Sunday school. I was taught right from wrong." Friend, all this Christ did for you, but do you care? What is it to you that the Savior died? Is it anything to you that passed by? Behold and see, is there any sorrow like unto my sorrow? The first man died in his sin. The amazing thing is this, folks. He died and he went to a lost eternity at the cross. Oh, you could lose your soul at the cross, knowing your need, yet never repenting of your sin and claiming Christ. Lost at the cross. This man is saved at the cross. Simply cries out, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." But there's not only the cross of condemnation here, and the cross of conversion. Jesus said today, and folks, today is always an important day in our lives. There may never be another day like today. Man is forever living in the tomorrow. What he'll do tomorrow, what he'll be tomorrow, where he'll go tomorrow. But everything with God is in the now. He says, "Today, if you hear his voice." My friend, we're only guaranteed the now, this moment. We know not what shall tomorrow will bring. Therefore, today is the day of opportunity. But then there is the cross of Christ. Emmerder says, "I must needs go home by the way of the cross. And there's no other way but this. I will ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss." My friend, would you bow at that cross, the cross of Christ? That is the cross, first of all, of substitution. Where the Savior took our place and died for us. Mankind was in debt and had to bow in spiritual bankruptcy. And Christ stepped in and took our place, became our substitute. Paul says, "One died for all." Christ taking the sinner's place. died that we might be forgiven. And died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven saved by his precious blood. You know, there at the cross. And we gladly talk about the imputed, or the righteousness of Christ being imputed to us when we are saved. But you know, there that day, your sins were imputed to Christ. And he who knew no sin became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Do we fully understand, or can we ever understand, what it meant for him, the Holy One, to bear away our sin? It was not only the place of substitution, it was the place of sacrifice. Sin could only be atoned for by the shedding of blood, for without the shedding of blood is no remission. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it is the blood that atones for the soul. And Jesus willingly became our sacrifice. The day that Calvary's middle tree was erected, divine justice cried into the face of the Son of God, "Pay me what thou owest." And Jesus paid with the very last drop of his blood, until divine justice cried out, "Enough," and God the Father was forever satisfied. It was a once for all and final and sufficient sacrifice. Needs no repetition. Leaves us without excuse. You need not perish, because Christ was your substitute. And Christ was your sacrifice. But it was also the place of salvation. One thief found Christ there, saved on his deathbed. The other committed the unpardonable sin on his deathbed. What will you do with Christ? And neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart may be asking, "What will Jesus do with me?" Let me put it this way. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do without Jesus? And many people today say, "I can live very well without Christ." Some do. And some say, "I can die without Christ." And sadly, many die without Christ. But my friend, there's one thing you can't do without Christ. You can't get into heaven. Because Jesus said this, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. For I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." What cross are you at today? Remember conducting a gospel campaign, and there was a lady who was very enthusiastic for the Lord, and she was inviting everybody even long before the mission began. And the mission began on a Sunday evening. And that day she knocked her neighbor's door again. But she wasn't interested. And she went back on the Monday. She said, "No, the mission started last night. I would dearly like you to come." She says, "I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to come tonight. Not because I want to come. I don't want to come." But she says, "I'm absolutely fed up with you coming every day asking me to a gospel mission. I don't want to go to a gospel mission. But I'm coming. so that you won't come back and ask me to go to any mission. Coming tonight. And you know, she came, and the hall wasn't that big, but it would have held 80 or 90 people, and the hall was packed that night, and she got to sit in the front seat. You're all right there, folks. Front seat in some hall is not a great place to be. The preacher spits all over you and all the rest of it. And she was absolutely drowned. The end of the meeting, she asked to talk to me. She says, I'm here. Didn't want to come. Just coming to keep my friend happy. No other reason. But she says, I believe God has spoken to me. That I've got to do something. And if I don't do it tonight, I feel I'll never get another opportunity. And she found herself at the cross of Christ. And that night she trusted the Lord to save her and has never looked back. My friend, you have a decision to make at the cross. What shall I do then with Jesus? One of those thieves blasphemed him, sold his soul to a lost eternity. The other embraced him. And Jesus said today, instantaneous conversion. You may have come into this meeting by invitation. You may be here and you don't know the Savior. Friend, you can be instantly saved by God's powerful grace. A man came to a mission that he was conducting in South Armagh. He came across the border. The bridge was the county bridge. That really was the border. And after attending the mission for a few weeks, God saved him. And he was giving his testimony. And he said, I came across the county bridge that night, a condemned man. And went back across the county bridge, a saved man. Friend, you come into this meeting unsaved. You can go to this meeting saved, sure of heaven, if you would trust Christ. Don't bow at the wrong cross. Bow at the cross of Christ. Trust him as your Savior. Do it now. Isn't that what Eisenhower said across radio to Germany during the war? Hide your wives and your families in the safest place and do it now. But there's danger, there's death, and delay. Come. Come today. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, where the Son of God loved us, gave himself for us, died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to thee. And our Father, we pray that none will be like that unrepenting thief who rejected Christ in the last throes of life, but rather like his friend who cried for salvation. Give that grace, we pray. Draw hearts to yourself, but we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.